You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.
Today on our show, we're talking with Hans-Jörg Schneider. He's an artist living and working in Berlin and also a writer. Today we'll be talking about his art. Hans-Jörg, thanks so much for being with us today.
Yeah, I'm glad to be with you. Hi, hello. Hi. Nice to talk to you.
Let's talk about what you're working on now. What is what's happening in your studio in Berlin, or in terms of your visual work? And I don't mean that to avoid your writing. I know you have a history as a writer, so we can discuss that too. But I'm interested in what's happening in your studio at the moment.
Yeah. Well, right. I'm working on paperworks, a series which I started maybe a year ago. And I call those paperworks string drawings, because I do them with strings that I soak with ink, and I have big tables in my studio, working tables, so I work. In a horizontal state, and I used to have those lines from one side of my table to the other, and make them straight, and then I can because I soaked them in ink before, I have them hit on the paper, and this is how I produce quite big paperworks, very slowly, and one after the other.
So the strings, I mean, I've seen that work. It's beautiful work. The strings are kind of snapped onto the paper, I used to be a carpenter, the way a carpenter would use like a chalk line kind of thing.
That's right. Yeah, it's exactly like that.
And you know, from the images that I've seen, they have a drawing almost like soft pencil, but I would imagine the blacks are much richer and deeper.
Yeah, that's right. And the paper is slightly wet also when I work on it, and so it's the paper also soaks the ink. And I have, I can make it more or less wet, so it's, the paper takes up a lot of ink, or it takes up, or the lines sort of stand quite strongly and full on it. So there is quite a lot of parameters I can use.
And these are quite large. These are huge pieces, aren't they?
That's right, yes. There are like 2 meters, 2.50 meters. And also they have those sort of fringes. So in the end, you can still see how those paperworks were done. You can see that there were nails in the paper, sort of at the edges of the tables, and you can still see that. So every drawing could be called a kind of documentation of the whole process.
I see. Right. There's especially the ones that are square grids, the paper would be circled by these very small kind of pinholes or nail holes.
That's right, yes. Yeah.
So when I look at these remind me of, and just correct me if I'm wrong, I could be moving in the wrong direction, but something architectural, the size of them, the planning, the space even, and I know that as I look through your work, it feels like there's architectural references and things, some more direct than others. Is that correct? Do you see an architectural element in these particular drawings?
Yes, very much. I do. And I have worked sort of along this line for a long time now. And also I've done a lot of work that is sort of more directly related to architecture. I think it was about the year 2000 that I started those cutout works, and I used architecture as or I used buildings and facade structures to.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Was that the Icon series? Are we talking about the Icon series or something else?
That's right. That's right. Yes. And I'm still working on those in this kind. It's a kind of work in progress I carry on. And it's about the structures of modern architecture, you could say.
How did that begin or evolve? Because I'd like to talk about, you know, the string joints as well. Continue with that. But how did this interest in architecture come about? Like, what was the first? Was your first visual work also architecturally based?
No, it was sort of based on drawing very much. But there was a kind of vague interest in architecture also when I was studying, but it was not so explicit, you could say. When I lived in London for a year, which was I think in 85 or 86, so quite a long time ago. But I think it was this experience of living in a really big town that I sort of wanted my work to do with architecture, and I wanted my work to sort of react to this experience. Then maybe the next step was that I started to do installations, which was back in Germany then, and when I started to live in Berlin. And I sort of started to do wall divisions. I think that's maybe the best word. I used a huge paper, sheets of paper, and cut shapes into it, and used them to divide spaces. And I did a similar thing with transparent materials like plastic foil, and so. So that was a kind of installation step which came before I started to do the cutout stuff, but it's a kind of a step before. It was a kind of preliminary for that.
And then you were also doing public installations as well. So you actually at some point worked with architects. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. I did the installations were very much before the year 2000, I think. But I still do work. I do public work, and I do work temporarily. Installations and things I put on big windows and so. So this is also some continuous line I'm following.
And how does this merge? I mean, I want to talk primarily about this art and how it's evolving. but you're also a writer, and does that contribute to how you're thinking about visual work?
Well, I wouldn't think so much that I'm a writer. Actually, I do write about my work, I wouldn't say I'm a writer.
Are you teaching or anything else as well as this?
That's right. Yeah, I teach drawing to design students in Hamburg. Yeah, that's right. And I would quite like to sort of intensify this teaching jobs also. Right.
So maybe teaching is a better way of talking about it in terms of teaching, because a lot of artists talk about teaching in different ways. Some of them feel that it's part of their practice. Some of them feel like it's just something that supports their practice. Do you feel that teaching in any way informs your practice or has a dialogue with it?
Yes, very much so. And it's a kind of, very creative work to do teaching, I think. It's very direct, and of course, there are things sort of I plan before I have my lessons, but then it's a lot of things I can't plan, and I really love that. It's and drawing is something wonderful to teach, actually.
Hmm. Now, where did you grow up? And in a sense, I want to talk a little bit about how perhaps your work, as you said, in London, you were reacting to the architecture that you were surrounded by. It was a bigger city. Did you grow up in a very small town?
That's right. That's right, yes. I grew up on the countryside. And I went to school in a very small town, which is in the very north of Germany, at the Baltic Sea, next to Denmark. It's like you suppose, like you thought, it's coming to a place like London was almost a bit of a shock in the beginning.
Right. What was your hometown like? Can you describe that a little bit? I mean, I have no idea what that might have been like.
A small, very lazy town where I went to school and really countryside where I grew up. So a very rural area, quite close to the beach, actually. So a nice place to grow up, but somehow I was sort of drawn to the city, and the cities also really shaped my work after some time.
Well, that's very interesting. I mean, in a way, that's the quintessential artist journey, right? We go from the country to the city, and then the city somehow shapes you. But, I interrupted you, but tell me a little bit more about, how that perhaps shaped your work, London in particular.
Yeah. Well, I remember being in London. It was very much also the experience of having very little space for myself, very little space to work, for example, and it's this sort of being, feeling sort of almost a bit imprisoned in walls. And then again, I think it was this hugeness of the city, something you can't overlook, which very much fascinated me, but also maybe it was some. It's a very ambiguous experience, really. But also things like the shape of towns and the use of maps and cartography. That's also something which goes in this direction and influenced my work also. This topography, which I think, I mean, when I do those paperworks, I always have the feeling, to some extent, that the images are some kind of maps also. I think it comes from that, really.
That's very interesting. And what's happening now in Berlin? Berlin has also a different architecture. It's a very different world than London. Is that, you think, changing?
That's right, yes. Yes, Berlin has quite an interesting history in architecture, and quite interesting modern architecture, early modern and post-war modern architecture. So I'm partly going back in time sometimes to find historical buildings that I like to work on. At the same time, I feel part of what is sort of happening now with the city. And well, yes, I'm having a quite a important show for myself at the moment in the Architectural Museum of the Technical University of Berlin. So
maybe we should, you know, finish by talking about that show a little bit. That really bridges the interest from the architectural community in your work, and so how do they see the work that you're producing? Or maybe just we can talk a little bit about that show, because I think on one hand you know some of your works are very grid-like, seem very architectural, but the other drawings that we began talking about are also quite asymmetrical and have very many many angles in them that look almost organic as
yeah.
opposed to
yeah. That's right. It's. I mean, I know that quite a lot of architects are interested in my work, which is good for me also. At the same time, I feel it's that the architectural scene and the scene of the art scene is. Quite separated also, or so I would like to think that those scenes could sort of be more interested in one another, and I also think that projects between architecture and art and artists could be intensified. Right.
Well, perhaps this is one step towards that, because that's interesting. I often hear there's two fields that don't quite go together. You know, the art world is maybe quite different than the architecture world. But isn't this show that you're having now potentially a bridge?
Sorry.
It is in the show that you're having now, maybe potentially a bridge between those two worlds, so that the
That's
architectural
right.
world is,
I hope so. I hope so.
Well, how would we know it's successful, do you think, if something does occur like that? Because, you know, this is a really kind of a profound question. This, you know, artists are often working in, you know, performative worlds or theater worlds, and they're essentially visual artists, and they feel that, you know, the critics and the audience from one world don't really understand necessarily the world that the artists are in.
Mm-hmm.
What would be success there, do you think, so that architects do understand? Because it is a different visual language, perhaps.
It's two sort of fields that are in a neighborhood somehow. At the same time, it feels that sort of in daily life, it's not so much relation from one side to the other. I think that on the other hand, I think that maybe also this importance of new media and things like that helps to intensify this interest from one side to the other. So I see that architects are also more interested in structural things like interesting facades and so. And I think this is there are quite a lot of fields where there are overlapping interests now.
Well, with architecture, don't you also think that creating public art installations of drawings, or even, you know, really just having art within the architectural structure as an essential element of it is really in conversation with the architecture. It's enormously important. It's not just, or can be, as opposed to just, you know, a picture on the wall, but an element that's almost essential to understanding the architecture as well.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's I do think that also artists have quite a different way of looking at things and looking at this architecture also. But I think it could be really it could be some very interesting dialogue if there were more sort of projects that brings artists and architects together. And it's like you say, it's much more than a picture on a wall. It's also got to do with the interpretation of how you feel within a room, or how you feel within a building, and how you react towards space.
Well, thank you for then having this show and also contributing to that dialogue, Hans-Jörg. It's been a pleasure talking with you today. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much as well.
You're listening to Yale Radio WIBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.